evening and welcome to Sporlitics, where sports and politics mix and mingle since 2011. We've been doing this on Blog Talk Radio in 2011, and then we switched later on to YouTube. Joining me tonight is Keith, the constitutional conservative, Stephen, the independent thinker, and my cousin Todd. Aguna is off. He'll be back next week. We have a packed full show for you tonight. A lot going on. Day 28 of the government shutdown with no end in sight. Stephen with NASCAR playoffs. We'll talk about the NFL. President Trump is in Asia and the Democrats launch a probe into President Trump's $230 million request. Israel breaks the ceasefire and more. If we can fit it in, first up, we will go straight to Stephen and NASCAR. Let me share my screen. Stephen, I know, I think I've got it right this time for NASCAR. The Cup Series in Martinsville, right?
Yes.
Here we go.
Trinity 500. And there will be two drivers locked into the championship four at Martinsville. Let's go. Gibbs got a bit squirrely off the line. William Byron leads them into turns one and two with his teammate right behind. Drag race between Larson and Gibbs down into three. Larson desperately wants to get that position.
Look at the battle mid-pack trying to get to the bottom of the racetrack. Some very aggressive moves.
Hamlin ahead of Logano. Here comes Elliott in the red number nine this week. Keep an eye out for that. He's alongside the 41 of Cole Custer.
Gibbs taking a look. Kyle Larson not falling for it.
Under caution for the first time today.
It'll be a very interesting timing for the crew chiefs. Let's see exactly what happened. Oh. Around goes the 99 of Suarez. I think he gets straightened back up right there, but it looked like he was getting spun around off the nose of the 23 of Bubba Wallace. Zane Smith in the 38 also kind of involved. Well, that red nine of Chase Elliott came in third. Watch this. Right side looks good. And when everybody transitions to the left, the first time I watch this, everything looks fine. And then I'm like, wait, somebody's missing. Where did the tire changer go? And he comes back into frame. So crack crew down at tape. We do a little cheat. We go to the roof of the nine and check this out. Tire changer leaves, and this tire, we talk about the banking, it rolls forward trying to get away. If that gets to the middle of the 51's pit box, that is a penalty for the nine. I guess methodical would be the kind of the term I would use if I'm coaching this 12 around. We're not going to gain 20 spots in 15 laps. We're going to do it lap by lap.
Oh, at the front, Custer trying to get underneath the 71 of McDowell. Contact, now contact with Custer and Gilliland.
Kyle Busch in the eight there was the last driver on the lead lap until William Byron just zipped on by.
That makes this run up.
Okay, I will stop it there. Stephen, I'll let you take it from there.
That was a great race. They call it the paperclip because it's shaped just like a paperclip. And it's a great race to be the second one till the end of, the end of the year. Next race at Homestead is a 1.5 mile what we call a cookie cutter track, but it's going to be exciting because it's going to be for the championship. So everybody should check that out. If you can't watch it because football is going to be on, just tape and you can watch it next day. It's still a good race. It'll still be fresh to you. So it's good. The people that we basically thought would be in the last part of the championship, the only ones that can win it, these four drivers, was Larson, Byron, Hamlin, and Briscoe. And all of them deserve to be there based on the point system, but I don't like the point system we have. So maybe not all of them would be here. This guy that won five races, he didn't even get a chance to make the playoffs. He wasn't the final 12. They didn't let him in because of the way the point system is. And even King Richard Petty, which he wore kind of a hat like this, but much better with a big feather here. He's the king of races. He's won the most races. He's a legend in NASCAR. He said, if things don't change and they stay the same, then he doesn't really want to be a part of it because it's not how racing is. You can understand old school person like him. I mean, I think he's around 80 now. And people my age, I'm one of the last holdouts, not a lot of people are holding out for racing. And the younger people, I don't know if they're coming on or not. I have no idea. But I still love racing. I'm still going to love it. Hats off to racing. And it's still been a great year, but I don't love the way they do this. But I am happy that driver I really admire. They got it bad end of the short end of the stick before. They really did NASCAR treat him really poorly. He's in the lead. Kyle Larson, truck number 5 Chevy. He's got a real good chance to win. I hope he wins, and I'll be rooting for him. And I'm gonna put my money on him because I want him to win.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep.
Oh yeah, and it's a Homestead last race championship. Everybody should give it a little bit of a chance. Give it a watch. It should be wild. It should be a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I was talking to my animals.
No, that's okay.
Hey, because they were like all in the way, you know, whenever.
I thought I was too windy.
No, it wasn't you at all. All right, sounds good. I love to see the races when they're like that because it's really, really fast, and it seems like they're more on a mission than the normal races. And I really liked in this video, they're showing that pit drive, the changing tires, because I had told Todd years ago that I wanted his nephew to change tires. Yeah. And then remember Todd told me, why don't your mother change those tires?
I remember.
Do you remember that?
I remember.
Yeah, he's like, why don't you have your mother be a pit crew?
Yeah, he said it without any shame. He said it without any shame in his voice.
I know. You remember that, Keith? So I thought it was good that they showed that, you know, there's a part and there's a skill to changing tires for a pit crew. And it's very important. They have to stay within certain boundaries. They can't get close to the track. You know, they get penalized. But of course, Todd didn't know any of that. All Todd knew was that my mother should be changing
tires. Todd is cold hearted. He's not very.
The best drivers have the best teams. The best drivers have the best team. If you don't have, it's all about the team. The drivers, a little bit more like a quarterback and a center and maybe a wide receiver, but the rest of the team is there. And if you don't have the team, if you have a poor team, you can't win.
Right. And I know his nephews are really good at the things that they want to do. You know, when they put their mind to stuff, they're really, really good. And I said, oh, this is a win-win because they could do really, really well.
They can go take classes, compete, and try to get on. They'll take anybody on. They take the best people at that position because that's what you need. You need big, strong people who are fast.
All right. Yes. And I knew his nephews were big and strong. Let me move on. But he said, my mother was big and strong. Well, I'll move on anyway.
Maybe it could have been a compliment.
Los Angeles. Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the clock strikes midnight. Freeman has ended it. It's a repeat hero with the last word on a Game 3 classic.
There's Ohtani. Okay, I'll stop sharing and then share another screen. But Keith, this is for you. This is your team, the LA Dodgers. I'm going to let you say something about that if you'd like to.
No, I don't have anything to say. I mean, it may be my team, but I don't really follow them. I don't really follow most sports these days. I don't like the way the Dodgers, their political correctness, their wokeness. So no offense to the athletes, though, but the leadership. So-
If you look at the screen tonight, it already started, 8:00. The Toronto Blue Jays are in LA, playing the LA Dodgers, Game 4. LA Dodgers lead 2-1.
That's fine. Doesn't have any effect on my life.
All right, Cousin Todd, anything from you before I move on?
No, but I think the Dodgers are going to win the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
But the World Cup. You mean World Cup?
The what?
It's the World Cup. It's not the Super Bowl. It's the World Cup.
The World Cup.
You don't know anything about
sports. If I'm not mistaken.
You don't know anything about sports. But I'm going to send you a video. I think you went viral. Do you Are you on the internet? Well, never mind. I'll send it to Stacy, and you tell me if that's you, because
I bet it's going to be impressive. Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Mm-hmm. Todd was impressed. That's why.
No, it's going to be something. It could be something silly.
Moving on, we have a lot to cover, so I'm going to move right on to Stephen's people.
Commanders game against the Kansas City Chiefs is winding down, and unfortunately, the Commanders are heading for their third straight loss. Thank you for being here with us at 11 o'clock. I'm Lorenzo Hall.
Yeah, I'm Leslie Foster. Monday's having a Monday. It was a tied game at halftime, but the Chiefs have just pulled away since the second. Right now, the Commanders trail 28-7 in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes made three touchdown passes in the second half. Our Eric Flack is out at Star Hill Tyson's, where fans were hoping to see a big win, and that didn't quite happen, E.
No, Les, I mean, we still have a few diehards out here watching the final minutes of this game tick off. But, you know, throughout the night, it's been an energetic scene with a lot of fans hoping for a big showing from the Commanders tonight, really against all odds. But again, earlier tonight, it really was an energetic scene, a packed house here at Star Hill Brewpub in Tyson's. Members of the Command Force cheerleading squad were out here taking photos with a number of the fans. And the whole event organized by Tyson's community.
You just got to have the positive mindset. We root for our boys all the time. There's highs and lows in every game. You just got to keep pushing through. We're happy to have Debo back. We're happy to have Terry back. So we're staying faithful.
I'm feeling calm, same as last year. Like I told some buddies, kind of reminds me of the Lions playoff game. We were bet against, heavy underdogs. But if we come in, handle business, keep it a close game, we can walk out, win. Turn the season around.
Absolutely. That's what it's about. You always got to stay positive and be ready for whatever happens, but you got to be a part of the team. So we're ready.
Last year, I'm still high on that vibe. And, you know, if we don't do as good this year, then okay. But I know the future's coming. So, you know, we're going to be doing, we'll be okay.
Okay. Steven, let's hear what you have to say about your Washington Commander.
Redskins. You said Redskins wrong. Turnovers hurt us last night, but Mariota, our quarterback, is filling in for our other quarterback, Daniels. He did really, really well. He was very impressive. He was just throwing some great balls. We got Terry McLaurin back. He caught some incredible passes. Unbelievable. They thought he was out because it was so close, right? I mean, for a touchdown. He had the ball in his hands, just gripped it. His I don't know, he did some Michael Jackson magic and got in. I don't know how he did it. He caught another pass, everything he did. He's like one of the best receivers I've ever seen in my life. So it was good to have him. We were tied at halftime. We were looking really, really good. It was like mistakes messed us up. Another injury in defense messed us up. We had a couple problems here and there. So the score at the end wasn't that indicative of the game because they really did impress me. They looked really good. And it's hard to beat Kansas City at home. But for the most part, I give them a B. It was a tough ending to a game that they had a lot of hope for. But even like the quarter, it wasn't Mariota's fault. The interception one time just flew up right out of the hit the man on his hands. Debo, and went right in the man's, you know, caught it right in his, it was ridiculous. Stupid stuff like that. Just stupid stuff that changed momentum, hurt everything. So, I'm not down on them too much. We're still going to be all right. I don't know about playoffs. Maybe playoffs if we can get Jalen back. That's a big thing. When you don't have your number one quarterback, it hurts. But I can't fault Mariota. He's a great backup, and when we need him, I don't have any problem with that. So, I think the team's got some solid points, got some things to work on, but anything can happen during the year, so not giving up hope yet.
Thank you. Kansas City is a tough team to beat for any team, and especially if they are home. So, you know, you guys shouldn't take that as a fault because they're really hard to beat, especially if you're home. If they're home.
But tied at the first half, I'll take that. You know, it's like a small win, little victory there. So we'll take what we can get right now.
Right.
And it's been a rough year.
Comments from Cousin Todd or Keith before I move on?
If they had the proper outfield, they would have done better. But when you don't, It's just not good.
That's what I said last night, Todd. Insane.
By the way, that video you sent, I wanted Stacy to send you that video that you posted. Did you post that video, Steven?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so you didn't post
the
video.
He's obsessed. He's obsessed with this thing. I don't know.
I don't know which video you're speaking.
Todd, I think they are on their phones, so they can't see what I sent them.
No, I can't see nothing.
Until they get off the show, they'll see it.
Okay. I thought he posted something. You said you may have posted it or no.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I'll take a look.
Okay.
You'll take a look. Okay. You sent it to both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
No, we ain't struggling. Oh, I like it that way. I like it that way. Let's go. Jalen, congratulations, LFG player of the game. 4 touchdown performance by you, and you were missing your top wideout, A.J. Brown. How do you feel about the other guys and how they stepped up? Dotson, obviously Goddard and Devontae in the pass game today for you.
Yo, well, I think more importantly, we were able to run the ball, almost running for about 300 yards. That allowed us to play efficient in the pass game. We still got things out there that we want to take advantage of and play a little cleaner. But those guys stepped up in a big way. Jahan, that's a hell of a catch to kind of put a dagger in the game. Smitty taking advantage of his opportunity. Those guys just being in the right spots and doing what we prepared to do. So a lot of love for those guys for the way they prepared for this week.
Yeah, you've had great chemistry with all those guys, and you're finding your one-on-one matchups. You could just deal and play point guard. In a game, you know, you played him in week 6, 2 weeks ago. In the Meadowlands, game didn't go the way you wanted. Today, completely dominant performance. Is that what you guys expected?
Yeah, well, we wanted to come out here and play our brand of football, and that looks different from week to week, but, you know, as well as anyone, it's about winning. And so coming out here, being efficient, tried to stay ahead of the sticks, capitalize in situational football, win that, and then be good on third down. And so everybody did a really good job today, and we just want to continue to improve off of that.
Yeah, you certainly know how to win, that's for sure. And even when everyone, you know, coming off 2 losses and you guys go to Denver, excuse me, two tough losses, you guys come back and won in Minnesota last week, and today people think, oh, they're struggling, but you're like, oh, no, we ain't struggling. 6-2 going to the bye week. What kind of confidence does that give you guys?
Well, I like it that way. I like it that way. Yeah. I just smile and accept the challenge that comes. And we got a great team. We got great guys, great competitive character, and we just want to continue to build.
Yeah, well, you're doing it, man. Congratulations. Enjoy the bye week, and we will see you down the road.
There we go.
Okay, that was a good game. Unfortunately, I missed the game because I was at church during our Women's Day, but I didn't even see any highlights. But did either of you see any of those games?
Yeah, he played great. He unleashed. I think he had 4 touchdowns, Jalen Hurts did. He just went crazy. The team's on time now. Now that they're going to have a bye week and gather themselves a little bit together again, man, they got it going on. I mean, they got the division. They're going to be contenders, probably top 4 team, top 6, maybe something like that. But they looked really, really impressive. Looked like they're getting it together. And maybe Jalen was just – maybe he'd been suffering through a sore elbow or something, but he was slinging it. And he was – they were having a good time. So,
yeah, they were dominant. I heard in the news that since they had a bye week, a lot of the team, you know, took off and went out of town. I hope nobody went down to the Caribbean because, you know, it's hurricane season and that big hurricane Melissa's hovering.
I hope they're not in Jamaica, man.
I hope they're not in the Caribbean.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I did see it, Stephen. That was not Stephen. That wasn't Stephen.
I'm sorry, Todd. I took a look at it. I'm sorry, Keith, but that is me.
I thought so. I thought that was you.
Okay.
No,
you didn't. Well,
now of course everyone's going to want to see it, but I got to move on, and we will.
Well, just tell them it was Steven in high heels. I don't know, man.
It looked like me. I ain't never had no high heels on, and I don't recognize that place. But you know, I've been to some parties, but I ain't never been to no Diddy party.
Well, earlier. this past week, I did a earlier this week, I did a tape session with Nas, and we went over a few things, and I'm going to share it with you. So, and then you guys can talk about it.
Once all the gambling came in.
All right, here we go.
The gambling scandal rocking the NBA.
I'm ashamed that those guys would put their families and their careers in jeopardy.
Chauncey Billups, a Hall of Fame player and current coach of the Portland Trailblazers, and Terry Rozier of the Miami Heat, both seen leaving court. They're among more than 30 people arrested, accused of running schemes that made millions by allegedly rigging sports bets and poker games. Billups and another former player, Damon Jones, are accused of working with the mafia, using their celebrity status to lure wealthy people to illegal poker games that were rigged.
Everybody else at the poker game, from the dealer to the players, including the face cards, were in on the scam.
The technology allegedly used in the scheme is like something out of Mission Impossible. The FBI says the suspects used special glasses and contact lenses that could read invisible markings on cards. Casino security expert Sal Piasante showed us some of the technology.
I can't tell you what that top card is, but if I pop in contact lenses, if I'm wearing my poker glasses, when you look at that card through that filter, you'll see what that card is.
The FBI says the suspects also used card shufflers that were rigged and used what's described as an X-ray poker table that allowed them to see face-down cards through the felt on the table. They also allegedly used what's known as an analyzer. It looks like a cell phone, but when placed in front of a deck of cards, it uses a hidden camera to determine which player will win, no matter how well the deck is shuffled.
This deck is marked invisibly on the side with a barcode. So when this deck gets shuffled and gets placed onto the table, this camera right now is scanning those cards, and it's going to tell you automatically who's going to win.
The device correctly predicting the hand closest to the device will win.
And you win with a full house, threes and fives.
Experts say the sophisticated scheme shows that the mafia has modernized.
Everyone talks about the mafia getting smaller, going away. Mafia doesn't go away. They will change based upon the law and how they can make money.
In a separate indictment, Rozier was charged in connection with an illegal sports gambling scheme.
Terry Rozier, right foot discomfort, doubtful to return.
Prosecutors say during this game in 2023, Rozier, then with the Hornets, tipped off bettors that he would fake an injury and exit the game. Bettors placed more than $200,000 on him to underperform in the game.
The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash.
Rozier and Billups deny the allegations, their lawyers vowing to fight in court. With both men making millions in salary with their teams, many are wondering what would have been their motive to get involved in such a scheme.
How much more do you need? Especially if you know you get caught, you can do jail time, lose your career, you know, put a bad image on yourself or your family.
We have to realize gambling is an addiction. So the addiction of it is what makes you make illogical decisions.
Ain't got nothing to do with addiction. That's just stupidity on these two dudes' part.
The NBA previously investigated Rozier for that 2023 incident, but cleared him. The league says it is cooperating with this investigation. As for Damon Jones, he has not responded to the allegations.
NBA head coach.
Okay, let me play the other one, and then I want your insight, Nas.
Okay.
Nas is here. All right.
And Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat star Terry Rozier have been placed on immediate leave by the NBA after their arrest today as part of a stunning gambling scandal.
This is the insider trading saga for the NBA.
Two schemes naming more than 30 people, according to charging papers, including four well-known mafia families in New York City.
Your winning streak has ended. Your luck has run out. Violating the law is a losing proposition. You can bet on that.
The indictment, Billups, outlining a national illegal poker ring, wooing wealthy players known as fish into rigged games, stretching from the Hamptons to Las Vegas. Prosecutors say Billups and former NBA player Damon Jones were called face cards, using their fame to lure unwitting victims. But authorities say the NBA pros knew the games were a high-tech scam rigged by the mob and cashed in.
They used custom shuffling machines that could read the order of cards, barcoded decks, and hidden cameras built into tables and light fixtures.
Court documents showing one of those shufflers disassembled and this poker table taking x-rays to reveal cards face down.
Defendants used other cheating technologies such as poker chip tray analyzers, which is a poker chip tray that secretly reads cards using a hidden camera, special contact lenses or eyeglasses that could read pre-marked cards.
Jones and an attorney for Billups not responding to requests for comment tonight. In a separate case, Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier now charged for his role in a criminal betting scheme. Authorities pointing to this game in 2023 where Rozier left early with an injury. Prosecutors say he had tipped off others first so they could place bets on his stats that night.
They placed wagers on unders on players to score less, rebound less, assist less, using information that was not yet public. Rozier exited the game after just 9 minutes, and those bets paid out, generating tens of thousands of dollars in profit. The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash.
Rozier's attorney tonight saying he believed the feds had cleared his client.
They took his phone, downloaded everything, and at the end of the day, they said there's nothing to see here, so we're going to fight it.
Laura joins us now live in studio, and Laura, we're talking about.
Okay, we don't need to hear anything from Laura. We can talk about ourselves, Nas. What's really interesting about this is, you know, for me, I don't gamble. I'm not a big NBA fan. I'm a NBA fan, but not like I am a football fan. So this really makes me not even want to pay attention to the NBA. Will this do this to other, you know, non-dedicated NBA fans?
I don't know, but if that's the position they take, I would say they might need to look again, because anything that can happen in the NBA can happen in the NFL and MLB. And there's a lot more coming down the pipeline from this case. So you should expect to hear more names. I remember in the NFL, you know, hometown Atlanta Falcons star, former Falcons star Calvin Ridley, he was injured and went home on vacation to see his family. And his family was making sports wagers. So he decided to make one. And immediately he was suspended indefinitely, lost over $12 million, couldn't play football for a year, and it was all over a $1,000 bet. So, you know, these things exist in all sports, and this has always been the reason why the sports leagues have always kept a arm's length distance from the gambling houses. But now in 2025, where we've got these partnership deals where the leagues have decided that they're going to work with the gambling houses instead of keeping them out, just because of the amount of, you know, just the sheer volume of money that they can pump into the sports, we kind of have this dilemma. Now, we as Americans, we're young with this, but remember, in Europe, they've been doing this since the 70s. So, you know, they've had gambling scandals for, you know, football, what we call soccer. They've had that for a long time, to where somebody, you know, gets in trouble and tries to fix a game or do something nefarious to get out of it. And, you know, we end up here in the same place. So, no, I wouldn't say this is like a mark on the sport. This is more a mark on those individuals. But the conditions exist for this to happen again and again. That's the issue that the NBA and NFL and MLB are going to have.
But, you know, when I think about this, I wonder, you know, so let me stop there. And let me have you all come in. Steven, Keith, Cousin Todd, do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Let me start real quick, Keith. This started in 2025. No, it didn't. The mafia and gambling's been hand in hand since the 50s, 60s. What are you talking about, man? This is boxing, every sport, everybody knows. This is nothing new. This is the FBI is not doing anything to satisfy the people who put the new FBI here. They're not satisfying us, so they have to do something. They have to flex and say, look what we're doing. We're going after the mob. It's an old story. It's an old thing they do. We're going after the mob and gambling because we didn't know there was gambling, the mob had any part of gambling. That's the only thing the mob has left is gambling. That's all they do. Everybody knows these games are fake. Everybody, the NFL and the NBA came out and said, we are the WWE. We are sports entertainment. And anything that happens, anything that comes out, you can't do anything to us because we can determine the outcome. They shave points all the time. They get people to do this. Whole thing is rigged. The whole damn system is rigged. And you know what he said? We're going after them for insider trading. Our Congress, Senate, look at them. They're the ones who do insider trading. Is FBI going to go after them and stop them? No. They're going to go after some low-level, tiny little boogers on the street compared to these people that are high up. The FBI ain't going to go after them because the FBI works for them. They don't work for us. So the little guys like us, even though they're millionaires, they're still little guys compared to those people who make all the rules. They get all the money. They never get in trouble. They're immune from the law. No, this is nothing. This is a tactic they're using to say, we're doing something. And we want the FBI to go after everybody that was bad. They haven't done it. The FBI ain't done crap. And in charge of the FBI ain't worth a damn. And this is what he's doing. He's just making a grandstand and going after the little man. That's like those people can have sex with children, but if you watch it on your computer, you're going to jail. They don't go to jail for having sex with the children. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I would just say that, once again, I would agree with Stephen, and I'll add to it by saying, you know, it's amazing. You see all of this going on, and I mean, it kind of makes Pete Rose look like a rose. Anyway, they made a big issue out of Pete Rose. But here's the thing. If they're gambling, my whole philosophy about gambling, if you're gambling with your money, you know, hey, you lose it, you lose, you win, whatever. I mean, but if it affects other people, maybe it affects your family, of course. But and that's not good. That's immoral. But if you're gambling with your own money, hey, that's you. But I mean, when politicians do it, they're taking our money, tax dollars, and they are manipulating all kinds of laws. So that's why I say I'm not all crazy about this. I don't even pay attention to a lot of sports, one of them for those reasons. But, you know, again, I'm not condemning them. I don't condemn them for that or even the mafia. Okay.
So all right. Thank you, Cousin Todd.
Okay, are you saying, Stephen and Keith, mainly Stephen, that the FBI is no good under Donald Trump?
They're no good at all under anybody. They've got they're not good under anybody. They're part of a system that doesn't work for the people. They don't work for us. They work for the powerful.
Okay.
They work for the powerful, man. That's all I'm saying. All right. The little man's always going to have to suffer. You and me.
Why do you ask him something and then get upset that he doesn't stop?
Because go ahead. Sorry, Todd.
I thought he would answer and then stop.
I did. I did two sentences instead of one.
Todd, you know you didn't think that.
No, I thought.
When has he ever said something and stopped?
Because this was not about his boy toy or it wasn't. It was just about Cash Patel. So Cash Patel is under Trump. So you're saying right. Cash Patel is no good. And okay. And is that because of the Epstein files?
Because of everything. That's part of it. That's part of it. They're not doing what they said they were going to do. And the reason I supported them was because they said, we're going to do what you want us to do. And what we want them to do, they're not doing. They're building ballrooms and crap and tearing down the White House, of which I love. I'm a conservative. I want things to stay the same. Okay. Stuff he's doing is bugging me. And I'm going to say it because I'm not like other people. Like, you know, you can be all about your team. I'm not all about my team. My team is the truth.
Okay, thank you, Cousin Todd. You gotta.
I'll sum it up. You are now coming along with everybody else, like those people sang that song, Uno Cinco Seis, I Will Bow for Danidra. And they thought Trump was going after the criminals. They wanted to get rid of those criminals. They didn't know that he was not going after criminals, he was going after all Mexicans, those that are working. He's going to farms, which is hurting the farmers, and arresting these people who work and contribute to society, not the drug dealers and the gangbangers. And so anyway, everybody has had a rude awakening with Donald Trump.
I don't know if what you're saying is true, Todd. I don't know if what you're saying is true.
Okay. All right.
Can you prove it to us?
All right. Can I move on?
I can.
I got to move on.
Okay. But she's moving on. I'll prove it before. I'll prove it.
Thank
Appreciate you.
Wait a minute. I got to make my screen bigger, smaller. I got to share, do something with my screen. I want to share my screen. Here we go.
Now to Japan and President Trump's visit to Asia. CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Nancy Cordes is there in Tokyo and can give us some of the other updates. We've been discussing the headlines this hour, Nancy. Good morning to you. Good evening, of course, but, you know, for folks here watching. It's all smiles and handshakes from what we can tell, but what is President Trump specifically walking away with from his meeting with Japan's new prime minister?
Well, he's walking away with a lot of good optics in advance of his sit down with China's President Xi Jinping later this week in South Korea. He was looking to project strength here, looking to project a close bond with an Asian ally, Japan. So he announced a new military partnership with Japan, sending them missiles for F-35s that are about to arrive within the week, and then new economic partnerships as well, particularly when it comes to rare earth minerals. And that is no accident. This is actually the third Asian country that President Trump has signed such an agreement with since China announced recently that it was going to make it much more difficult for the U.S. and the rest of the world to get access to China's rare earth minerals. And that's a real blow because China controls the processing of more than 90% of the world's rare earth minerals. So this is the president trying to find ways around that Chinese move if he isn't able to cut a deal with China that would cause China to reverse on its own.
And let's speak more about that, because President Trump is expected to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping a bit later this week. What strategy is the White House walking into that meeting with, and what does the president want out of it?
Well, we've seen some brinksmanship from both sides over the past few months, just looking to gain leverage in these trade negotiations, which President Trump really kicked off on so-called Liberation Day when he announced that he's going to be jacking up tariff rates on China and on goods from the rest of the world as well. And since then, these two massive economies have been at odds, China making threats like the one surrounding its rare earth minerals, boycotting the purchase of U.S. soybeans, another big blow because China is the biggest purchaser. And then President Trump, in turn, making big threats, saying he's going to impose another 100% tariff on Chinese goods. I asked the former U.S. ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns, who's been watching all of this back and forth in advance of this big meeting between the president and Xi, what the consequences could be, not just for U.S. customers, but for world economies, if these two major powers aren't able to work this out. Take a listen to what he had to say.
What's the impact for American consumers if President Trump and President Xi don't strike a trade deal?
Well, continued high tariffs would really be consequential for the global economy. It would grind to a halt most of the trade between China and the U.S.
Now, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and his Chinese counterparts say that they've made a lot of progress towards a deal. They've had a breakthrough, an agreement in principle. But we'll see what President Trump has to say coming out of that meeting with Xi on Thursday, whether they actually have something set in stone or this is just C-34. The first step.
Nancy Cordes, thank you.
Okay. You know, let me play this other video and then I'm going to have you address that, because a lot depends on what happens with President Trump and Xi and how our Fed board will determine tomorrow, how they will determine the rates, the interest rates. So watch this and then we'll talk about it.
The Fed is effectively flying blind right now. The government shutdown has turned off data releases. That's making it harder for them to reconcile this debate over how far and how fast should they be cutting interest rates. The Fed is expected to cut interest rates at its meeting this week, but it's going to be a weirder meeting than normal. What I'll be watching on Wednesday is, first, what does the Fed say about December? Do they come out of this meeting having any sense as to where the direction of travel is for another interest rate cut in December? At the Fed's last meeting, there was a split between officials who thought they would need to keep cutting interest rates because they were more worried about the labor market, and those who didn't think further interest rate cuts would be needed because they were more worried about inflation. Since then, there hasn't been a lot of data to reconcile that debate. We did get last week the Consumer Price Index for September, and it showed that inflation pressures haven't been as bad as feared earlier this year, though they do show that inflation is still running well above the Fed's 2% target. Second, the Fed is expected to debate ending the runoff of their $6.6 trillion asset portfolio. These are bonds and securities that the Fed purchased during and after the pandemic. They've been slowly shrinking those holdings from a peak of $9 trillion in 2022. But recent signs of funding pressures in overnight lending markets have led analysts to think the Fed is going to call an end to it. The economy is always uncertain for the Fed, but especially so right now when they don't have the data. And then on top of that, when you get into 2026, you're going to have a new Fed chair in May. Is that person going to want to do even more aggressive interest rate cuts once they're in the big seat?
Okay, let's start with, who wants to start? Who wants to start?
Stacey, that was so in the weeds. It got me high. That was all in the weeds. That was so much in the weeds. It was so much clickety clackety clack, man. Come on. I don't know. What are they going to do? I don't know what's in their mind. Cousin Todd, carry us, please.
They're going to lower interest rates, which everybody knew they were going to do that. This has been in the making for months. It's just, how much are they going to cut it? That's what's in question. And like they said, because the government is shut down, so that's why they don't have the proper information. Had the government been open, they would know exactly how much they were going to cut.
Then why would they cut it at all or raise it? If they don't have the information that they need, why would they just blindly do something, it seems?
They were going, I just said, they were going
to do this. I said, you know, they were going to. They were, yes. Right, they were planning on cutting it, but right. Doesn't this change that? Doesn't the shutdown change it?
No, they're still going to cut it. It's just a question of how
much. If it's a half or a quarter.
Or something like that. And so, yeah. Which means they're probably going to take it easy on the cut, not go as heavy as they would. Okay. And then in May, like they just said, there'll be a new chair and he'll probably cut it again. So that's not so weedy. That's just basic. But the fact that Trump is not here and he's allowing the government to stay closed for a month while he goes over to Japan.
It's not up to him to open.
Just let me finish. It is up to him. He is the president. He's in charge. He is to get the Democrats and Republicans together at the table to hash this thing out. You can't starve people to death.
No, they said starve.
Just shut up. People are not getting paid. And this is going on longer than it has ever gone on in the history of America. We're going on a month now.
They're not going to give them $1.5 trillion. They're not going to give them that money. So there's nothing to negotiate. They're not going to give them $1.5 trillion. That's it. That's the end of it.
You gotta let him finish and then Todd.
Right, I know. But
come up and then let Stephen and Keith respond.
So what happens is people are not getting paid, number one. Number two, people's insurance are going to double. And so people are not going to be able to afford health care. So now this is the Affordable Health Care Act. Not only that, this is everybody else's insurance that's going to go up. So you can't continue this. And we're not talking about anything except insuring people, keeping it at the same rate it was. We're not talking about giving people more, keeping it at the same rate. And they're saying, well, wait till we open back up and then we'll discuss it. No, there's no time for that because they don't trust Trump. Now, for Trump to go get bring peace to the Middle East, but not bring peace to America, Stephen would normally say that's backwards. Take care of home first, America first. I'm not interested in bringing peace anywhere except in America first. So while he's gallivanting all over the world, his country is jacked up. It's unfair. It's dumb. Okay,
quick response, Stephen and Keith. Which one first?
Can I please, Keith?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is what, but both sides want. Maybe they want this. Maybe they want people not to get their EBT. Maybe they want people to panic. Maybe they want people in the streets fighting in the streets and going crazy. Maybe they're going to want people to have the government save them, protect them from what they're doing to each other, because everybody's going crazy. About a week of not having food, 2 weeks of having food, people are going to start going nuts. So maybe the government wants this so we can have another, another 9/11. This would be better for them. They can say, oh, look, we're going to do like digital. Everybody's going to have to get your digital card. We're going to change our banking system. We'll change everything because it's civil unrest right now. And this is where that's why they have the military set up in different cities that are usually overrun with crime. Maybe that's why they have them now, because maybe they're planning this. Sometimes you got to think outside the box because it doesn't make sense. Should come together and make sure people get their cards, make sure people get what they need. That's what they need to do. But if they don't do it, you know it's on purpose.
The best I can say about all this is the result. This is what you're seeing is the result of socialism, and socialism has never worked and never will work, no matter how much they try. And that's why we are everything's so screwed up. The government is too involved in the affairs of men, in the affairs of the economy. And it should not be this involved. It should not be, interest rates shouldn't be determined by government. Okay, so we have to have a freer market and let the market be able to govern itself according to the people. But, you know, that's the result of our ignorance.
So you think government is too big and too involved in people's lives, so they should get out of women's vaginas and get out of the abortion ban. Is that what you mean?
No one should murder anybody. It's got nothing to do with the government.
I got to move. Sorry.
The federal government has nothing to do with abortion.
I didn't even bring up abortion. I didn't say anything about abortion. As we've been reporting, talking about the economy.
Like Snap, they're running out this month because of the shutdown. So let's go live to Scripps News Group political correspondent Nate Reed. And Nate, could the stoppage of food assistance change Democrats' minds on the ongoing shutdown?
Yeah, Tony, this is becoming an increasingly untenable situation, in large part because now Democrats are forced to pit the question of whether they want to keep up the fight for these Affordable Care Act subsidies, which expire at the end of this year. If they do expire, millions of Americans will lose their health insurance over the next decade. Or if Democrats pivot, vote to reopen the government simply because millions of Americans could then lose their food assistance programs on November 1st, when dozens of states will have their SNAP benefits run dry. Again, this is something that Democrats will have to contend with over the next week. No bipartisan compromise on Capitol Hill yet. As you noted, the Senate left town early for a long weekend. It's almost as if the government is open and things are functioning as normal. The Senate really not taking this now looming cliff with any increased urgency than what we've seen in the past. I asked some top Democratic leaders in the Senate, starting with Senator Dick Durbin, the Democrat from Illinois, Democratic whip, if he plans on changing his position. He said, we'll see. I also asked Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer if he would change his position as a result of this oncoming cliff on food benefits. He told me that his position for now is unchanged. But look, as we get closer and closer to the end here, there's a lot of questions about whether Democrats will fold given this massive looming deadline, which could affect millions of Americans. This shutdown, which has been felt by hundreds of thousands of federal employees, could get a lot more painful, not for hundreds of thousands, but millions of Americans who rely on those food assistance programs, Tony.
Nate Reed, live in D.C. Thank you, as always, Nate, for that insight. And if you're impacted by this shutdown, we want to hear from you.
Okay, Nas. We want to hear from you. We don't know if you're impacted or not, but we still want to hear from you. The shutdown, they're moving forward like business as usual. Like you said, people have gone, the senators, congresspeople have gone home for a long weekend. Can you hear me?
Can you hear it?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear.
Hello.
Okay, I think we're having some technical difficulty. I'll stop sharing that. So let me hear.
I could hear. Steven. What are you saying? You could not hear Steve, Keith?
No, we couldn't hear. I couldn't hear Nas, and I think he's about to go out. Stephen and Keith, let me play this, and then you can respond because this is today. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I can hear.
This is today or yesterday.
Today is
down the block. Hundreds of federal workers out of work and looking to feed their families.
Bills continue to pile up. I have car notes. I have children to feed. I have a family to take care of. I have a mortgage to pay.
The Bipartisan Policy Center reports 1.4 million civilian federal employees did not get paid. Workers at the NIH, HHS, the VA, DOD, food inspectors, and TSA officers.
Just give her two boxes and a pizza.
The average government check should be about $4,700. Instead, zero. The most visible sign of the shutdown may be at the nation's airports, where ground stops and flight delays have been building for weeks, more than 30,000 this week alone. While some are weather-related, the DOT says up to 53% have been shutdown-related, as some controllers call out sick in protest or take second jobs to feed their families.
Instead of focusing on the safety of the American flying public, they're now focusing on what they can't afford to pay.
Amid a national controller shortage, the FAA has been pushing to hire thousands of new controllers, putting them through the ATC Academy. But while students are paid, they're not getting paid if they graduate during the shutdown and start their first jobs.
Some of our young controllers in the academy and some who have been given spots in the next class of the academy are bailing. They're walking away.
At the Las Vegas and Salt Lake airports, food assistance for controllers and TSA officers. With no sign of compromise on Capitol Hill, right now the concern is that more TSA officers and controllers in the tower might be calling out sick as this drags on and they're concerned about feeding their families. And by the way, you guys, the Thanksgiving travel rush is now just over a month away. Laura and Jill, back to you.
Okay, that timing is really, really tough. This is just outrageous. It's outrageous. The states are going to run out of money. Then it becomes a federal government problem because the federal government are employing these workers and they need to be able to tap into that fund that they have in order to help people feed themselves and help them keep up with their bills. This is outrageous. Keith, let's do Keith first and Stephen.
Well, I'll repeat myself again. This is not this country. we are backwards, and we have generations of people that don't understand. They haven't been educated in that sense. We don't need federal government is not a handout service. The federal government is not an employment. It's not supposed to be employing a majority of people. I mean, the American people. They're not employed by the federal government. Federal government is supposed to deal with what is constitutional, which is to deal with the military and deal with law enforcement of that, of those laws. And all of these social programs, all of these other kinds of programs that they have expanded programs, their authority and power, it all goes to show us that we cannot.
They're air traffic controllers. What are you talking government. About? That's not a social anything.
Federal
they're
government.
Air traffic controllers.
Yes, but okay, then they have expanded.
You.
Didn't you hear the tape?
Good job, Steven.
The video? The video said there were more than air traffic controllers. There were all these other people with social programs. You know, you're not
now,
hearing
the social,
about that.
Now, Steve, Keith, the social programs were in place to help the air traffic controllers and the other people who didn't have access or didn't have money for food. Steven, let me bring you in. Don't say anything, Todd. Steven.
Yeah,
Democrats' fault.
See that? I was going to ask you, Keith. I didn't even have to ask you the question. I was going to ask you whose fault is it, and then you said the Democrats. Right. That's what
All
I'm saying. That's what
time. We don't have.
That's what. That's what both sides want you to think. See, this is not a box; it's a circle. There are no sides. These people are all together. But the reason they can stay all together and have all this almighty power like Oz over us is because they keep us divided. If we can say that side's bad or the other side's bad, that's how they win. That's the way they've always won. They manipulate us. They brainwash us into picking sides. So we have our two sides. Well, wait a minute. We have our two sides, but it's not like that. It's not. Once we can fix, we can change everything now. We can fix it. You don't have to have a side.
Okay.
The shutdown, and I said earlier, Stacey, real quick, if the shutdown happens, that means they don't care about us. They couldn't come to a compromise. They could otherwise. These are adults. They could figure something out. They don't care about us. They don't care about what we're going to go through because these people are up there. They don't have to go through what we go through. They are in a plastic bubble. We're not. We're the ones that suffer. And they, if they let it go through, we're all in trouble. It's all of their fault.
Okay, thank
you. We give a trillion dollars. Remember, we have $1 trillion to Israel, but we don't have money for us. We don't have no money for us. That's what it's about.
Well,
sorry, Todd.
That's okay, because you're flip-flopping as usual. I guess you had an epiphany, because your president is the one that sees to it that Israel gets all of those billions that you're talking about. And your president is the one that wanted to get peace in the Middle East while we starve over here. And so this is your president who you were just saying, he's a godsend. He's the greatest thing that ever happened. Now, all of a sudden you woke up because these are not, people think black people are going to suffer. Yay. No, there are more white people here than black people. There are more white people on those SNAP benefits. So they're going to starve. There are more white people on welfare, and there are more white people on the Affordable Health Care Act. That's the health care insurance.
Quite a bit of Hispanics too,
so
you know.
There are more white people. So he's only hurting you.
I'm not gonna be affected. I'm not gonna be affected.
I know, I'm not talking to you specifically.
But Todd, real quick, Donald Trump said he could shoot somebody in Manhattan and get away with it and he'd still keep all his supporters. Oh. You know what? He shot up 7 boats so far. He lost a supporter. I can support him in some of the things he does, but I don't support somebody who murders because I have integrity. I have integrity, Todd.
Steven, you are a flip-flopper.
I am not a flip-flopper. I'm a man of integrity. And when something changes, I go with the change. Something changed, Todd.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, your people could murder everybody and you still...
He's in Tel Aviv for us with the latest from there. Hi, Trey.
Sandra, good afternoon. The Israeli military is carrying out a series of airstrikes inside Gaza after Hamas attacked Israeli soldiers near the city of Rafah. A military official telling Fox News that Hamas violated the ceasefire by shooting at troops beyond the yellow line in an area controlled by Israel. Following that incident, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held a high-level security consultation before ordering immediate and powerful strikes inside the Gaza Strip. Earlier this month, 2 Israeli soldiers were killed in southern Gaza during the first major violation by Hamas of the ceasefire agreement. Hamas was set to release the body of an additional hostage tonight, one of 13 that remain inside the enclave. The group's Al-Qassam brigades released a statement last hour saying the transfer would not take place due to what they claim are Israeli violations to the agreement. Overnight, Hamas released the partial remains of an Israeli hostage whose body was already recovered after they promised to release new remains. This issue is a sticking point for phase one and could affect the implementation of the agreement.
Let me say it as it is. In terms of consequences and repercussions for Hamas, nothing is off the table right now.
Phase two is being discussed in this ceasefire, but with this Hamas violation today, there are certainly roadblocks ahead. Sandra?
Okay, Trey, thank you very much. We'll check back.
Well, so much for that peace in the Middle East.
Remember, I told you that. Do you guys remember on the show when I said it's not going to last? This is all a facade.
Well, Trump said it's going to last. Trump was all for it.
Well, Trump was wrong. Trump was wrong. He was wrong. I knew that. I knew it wasn't going to last. I mean, these people, you know the nature of men. If you know the nature of these people, of Hamas, it just, there's no peace that can be had. These people have to be destroyed.
Hey, Keith, how do we know Hamas did this? Because we're not allowed, nobody's allowed to have any reporters out there. How do we know if it's true?
Hey,
nobody's reporting on it. We're just taking somebody's word for it. Oh,
we're out of time. We can't even do the roundtable. We're out of time. What? Thank you.
You know, because you see
it. In our communities, you make our lives livable. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the women and men of the U.S. military for all that you do and sacrificing your lives so that we are free to say whatever we choose and change our mind, as Todd said Stephen did on this show. We are forever indebted. On behalf of Keith, the constitutional conservative, Stephen, the independent thinker, and my cousin Todd, I'm Stacey Johnson. Let's keep this conversation going on YouTube at Sporlitics. Please like and subscribe to our channel. Please check us out on TikTok. And our name on TikTok is Sporlitics.com. Check us out on Twitch. Check us out on X. Check us out on Facebook. And Stephanie Stallworth, the Flow Television Network. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.
Good show.
Yeah, with all due respect to the president, it's not that he made a mistake. I'm not mad at the president. He just did what was right. But then Hamas, I knew in the first place that they would never keep a peace treaty.
But I thought Israel didn't start any. I thought they had shot a couple people at first. That didn't happen?
Of course they did. You can't.
I thought that's what happened. I'm asking questions. I don't know.
Exactly. You can't trust Benjamin Netanyahu. He didn't want this peace treaty. He just was appeasing Trump temporarily. And then now he's back to shooting up Gaza. But Stephen, I don't know. From 1 year to the next, I'm a never Trumper. You said, this is what you said.
Trump Todd, I know what you're going to say.
Lose one voter. And you said, he's calling you stupid. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're stupid. And now switched it and said,
it's Todd. It's both sides are totally corrupted. They've got us divided. Before, you don't understand. Stephen. But listen. Let me say this to you. If somebody has, they're going to be killed. They're going to be executed. Somebody's going to be executed, and then after 20 years before they're executed, they have DNA evidence that says they're innocent. Do we still execute him or not? If I get new information, I have to evolve my opinion about things. You don't. You can't. You're stuck like you were when you're 5 years old. Your brain, you can't think. You can't evolve. Okay. You don't have any critical thinking.
On you.
But you have no critical thinking here. That's why. If you get new information, if Donald Trump, if I see Donald Trump raping and murdering somebody, but everybody says he's still cool because he does a lot of good things, but I can't be with him after that. I'm done. If I see him murder people, I saw him murder people, Todd. He murdered innocent people. We don't do that. But, we've always done it clandestinely. But he's doing it on purpose. And he's saying, I can kill anybody I want. If there's a drug house in America somewhere, and I know that kids have died from their drugs, I'm just going to blow the damn house up. Okay. It's a bad precedent, and it sets it in your brain. It's bad that murder is a good thing. And that's why abortion is bad, too, because it sets your brain to think you don't care about death.
Okay, go ahead, cousin Todd.
He did that a long time ago. And
did
you
what?
Were saying, killed those people in boats over
no,
and over.
No, the first person he killed, that was done for me. I was done with it.
You didn't say that.
Stephen, yes, I did. And I can still support things that he does that are good. But overall, they're all corrupt, Todd. Whoever you support is corrupt.
Okay. All right,
Stephen. That's the problem. Like I said last week, we need all, the government shut down. Millions of us should go to the Washington and take it over and make it we the people again, because they don't represent us. They just don't.
Shut down, Stephen. Slow down.
No, I'm saying this because the government shut down. Let's go. They don't care about us. Michael Jackson told you they don't care.
Stop talking now. You were all for a shutdown. You and Keith were all for a shutdown. As a matter of fact, you can shake your head, but the facts are the facts. We have the tapes. You said, so what? Let us shut it down. And your boy toy, Keith, said
he's not my boy.
Down every weekend. So they always shut down. That's what you and Keith said. So it was no big deal. Now, all of a sudden, oh, no, dude, shut down the government. I can't keep up with you, Steven.
I said, get to a middle way for all of them. Get for a middle way for us people. They don't care about us. If they let this go through and people lose everything and people can't fly and all that, that means they don't care about you.
But you,
they have to compromise. That's all I'm saying.
People don't lose their paycheck. Everybody still gets paid. I said, no, Steven.
I did not say that.
Oh my God.
I did not say everybody still gets paid.
You did. You did.
Well, we're probably going to.
Everybody's gotten paid for the last 30 days. Most people have.
We're probably going to have to pull that video up, Steven.
Well, okay, but people are not going to get paid coming up. A lot of people, most people have been paid up till now. A lot of people have been paid up now.
They just didn't.
Thanks.
Listen, Steven, they were supposed to get paid today. They did not get paid.
That's what I'm saying. Right, that's what I'm saying, but it was a long time, and nobody, you said this was the longest one ever. Nobody thought it could be that long. So, of course, nobody would say, okay, but nobody thought they weren't going to get paid. That's ridiculous. That's stupid.
No,
that's dumb. We wouldn't think it would last that long, right, Todd? No.
Yes.
But Donald the reason Trump they let it do
wanted it.
It
to last, Donald Trump, last time he was president, they went on, they shut down the government for almost a month. Now he's longer, one day longer than his last one. Trump is just a mess, and he doesn't care. He's traveling all over the world, bringing peace to every place except where he lives. And where he lives, he's building a beautiful, tearing down. People are starving. People are going to food banks, and he's tearing down the White House.
I said earlier I didn't like him, what he was doing to the White House. I told you that.
Well, that's the least of our worries, what he's doing to the White
House. I'm just saying, I'm agreeing with you.
What he just did was, and he tricked you because you said to me.
He didn't trick me.
Just a minute. You said to me, he's cutting the Medicaid because all the illegals is on the Medicaid. And I said, Stephen, illegals cannot be on Medicaid. All they can do is go to the emergency room. They're not getting Medicaid.
Todd,
that's the trick that he told you. So
Todd,
that you
I don't
say,
care.
Oh my
I
gosh.
I don't care. I okay. care that Donald Trump is with every big tech God. Person. He's with Bill Gates. He's not care. Going after Fauci like I wanted. And what they're going to do is digital currency. Listen to me. Your little bit of what you're saying doesn't matter. Our lives are getting ready to change real soon. Oh AI is taking over. And you're worried about little bitty this. It doesn't matter.
Steven,
this is what this is where Donald
eat.
Trump.
This is how we get our health care.
This I understand.
Medicaid people and I. Said
I understand.
No, you don't.
He's not trying to get rid of Medicaid. He's not trying to get rid of Medicaid. What I'm saying is he's working.
Steven, this is why.
He's working with our enemies.
Beautiful bill.
We don't like Bill Gates. And he's hand in hand with Bill
Steven,
Gates right
do
now.
Do you know what the big beautiful bill is?
Todd, I'm saying
Todd
everything
Medicaid,
is screwed up right now.
Right? No, just let's get specific. One thing at a time. Remember Project 2025? Let's go one thing at a time. Oh, let schools get the federal government out of schools. Let the states take care of the schools. That was in Project 2025. Getting rid of the affordable health care, that's in Project 2025. Donald Trump said we want to get rid of it and build something better. But he said that 10 years ago. What did he come up with that's better? Nothing. So let's keep what we have until they come up with something. But he's not doing that. He doesn't care if you don't have insurance. Too bad. So the bottom line is this. He's cutting Medicaid so that he can give tax breaks to wealthy people and corporations. You can't do it.
Todd, that's not even intelligent.
People.
That's not an intelligent thing to say.
They're cutting Medicaid. What are you talking
wealthy
about?
Wealthy people and corporations don't pay no taxes, brother.
They do.
No, they don't. These wealthy companies that are running this country have it made. It doesn't have anything to do with what's happening down here. We're on the lowest level. We're on the lowest level. They're on the highest level. Our taxes that they take from us doesn't matter. They have all the money. They have the fortune. They have the power.
Okay.
These little things they're doing is to keep us arguing about stupid things right now. The bigger thing is these few people are going against all of us. And they're keeping us fighting over this stuff on purpose. Your side tells you one thing. My side tells me another thing. And we fight. And we're like, why are you insane? You're Adolf Hitler. No, you are. This is what they're doing to us because they are powerful.
The vice president called Donald Trump Adolf Hitler.
Okay. Remember? But you know how it is. It's all performative right now. Well, you know what's going on. You have to.
You are the one that fell for it.
Donald Trump is Hillary Clinton is Obama. They're all the same, man. They're puppets. They're all puppets.
They're all the same. Okay.
Nothing ever gets done. Do you see his FBI going against anybody of importance? Did he lie when he said he was going after Hillary? Yes, he lied. Exactly. He lied. When he said, get me in here, I'll get all the people that went after me. He's not going after anybody. Where's Fauci? We don't talk about Fauci no more. He's friends with Bill Gates. He's friends with all the people that silenced him. There's a lot of reason to be upset. There's things that are going high, high up that these little things ain't going to matter when we ain't got nothing, Todd. We all need to come together. The government is not our friend, man.
I remember telling you, I said, people need Medicaid. It's not the illegals. You said the illegals. It's taking over.
Illegals should not be getting health care in this country because you can't get it in their country. You can't get free crap in their country. They shouldn't get it in ours.
They're not getting health care for the fact.
They're getting free crap. Did they get free housing, free money, free food, free everything? They got free health care. They got free schools.
Goodbye. They're not getting health care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.